woman's eyes. I can feel you watching in the night. All alone with me.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. We're here, really a great bureau here. It's the Bureau of Internet Accessibility. Everybody should have access to the internet, whether they have disabilities or are blind. People should have access to the internet. And the Bureau of Internet Accessibility is BOIA.org. Mark Shapiro is the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility. You want to learn all about the Bureau and about his role there, too. Mark, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
Pretty good. Tell me about the Bureau.
Sure. So the Bureau of Internet Accessibility is a company that helps organizations make their website and mobile applications accessible to everyone, including people with visual, auditory, and mobility challenges. Over the past 20 years, we've helped around 60,000 organizations.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow, 20 years. You've been around for 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Wow. Has the internet been around for 20 years?
Yeah, the internet's been around since the early 90s.
And so you started back in 1992?
Actually, I started my original company in 93. That was a company that was focused on web development, and we got into e-commerce development.
Tell me a little bit what it was like to be working, with the web in 1993, and what it's like compared to how it is today.
It was interesting because back when the web started, it was fully accessible, and it was the great equalizer because everybody could get to the content that they needed to get to. From a sales perspective, it was difficult because a lot of people didn't believe that the internet was for real and that businesses shouldn't be on there. So trying to convince people about how important the internet can be for their business and how they can get their message out and how they can have a one-to-one relationship with their customers, trying to get that message through to people, took a few years to get through.
No, okay. Wow, that's fascinating. I just can't. It's hard for me to even, imagine what the internet was like back then. I didn't get hooked up to the internet till the late 90s.
Back then, it was essentially text-based, so everything actually was very accessible. Everybody could get to the same content. There actually wasn't much in the way of imagery. It was really a text-based system.
And so, how did you get involved in this work right here?
So my original company, BX.com, we focused on government agencies in the early to mid-90s, and then we started to work in more businesses. And in the late 90s, some new laws came along concerning website accessibility, and our clients were looking to us to help them have some resources to find out if they were compliant. None existed, so we developed some web-based tools. And the suite of tools didn't really fit into our business model. So I originally started the Bureau of Internet Accessibility as a nonprofit, and I provided all these tools for free. Then after I sold BX.com, I decided to focus full-time on the Bureau, and I changed it to a for-profit and added some consulting services.
Oh, okay. All right. How many people work with you?
Our total team is about 150 people.
Wow.
Yeah. Good-sized team.
Yeah, that's a good-sized team. How long did it take to expand to that?
It's taken 20 years.
Yeah. Okay, the whole 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a slow and steady growth over the past 20 years. It's been great. Great group of people.
That's great.
We're fortunate enough to work with people with a diverse background in terms of ability, and it's an amazing team.
Talk a little bit about the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Well, the original Americans with Disabilities Act, it's actually, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary. The original focus was all about the physical world. It really didn't have anything to do with the digital world because the digital world was too new. So the Americans with Disabilities Act was making sure that everybody has access to all public locations. So, for example, to a public building, somebody in a wheelchair couldn't get up the stairs, so they required ramps. They required curb cutouts so that people could use walkways. They required that bathroom stalls were large enough to accommodate wheelchairs. And then the last few years, they added things such as closed caption options to people in a movie theater who may not be able to hear what's on the screen so that they could actually be able to follow along and read what's going on the screen.
Right. Oh, okay. Those are great services. So now tell me about the Chicago itself. How does Chicago stand up in terms of providing help to those who need it or accessibility?
You know, Chicago is on par with most of the other major cities. Definitely some areas of improvement. Where I saw Chicago lacking was more on the public school, the K through 12 side. There were some major accessibility issues, such as color contrast issues, where somebody would have critical text that was light with a light background. Mm. So if you're colorblind, you couldn't see it. So issues like that, or some people can't use a mouse, they can only use a keyboard. So websites need to be keyboard accessible. Most of them weren't keyboard accessible.
Oh, I see.
And then also, most of them didn't have an accessibility page. Every website should have a page where it's dedicated to information about who to contact if you have any issues. And that page should be linked on the footer of every page of the website. So if somebody's experiencing an issue, they can click on it, find out who to contact, and contact that person.
Now, how do you police this? How do you make sure that things are getting done?
Well, unfortunately, it's policed primarily through lawyers. There's probably 1,000 to 2,000 demand letters and lawsuits happening every month. So the lawyers are really pushing this through right now.
Wow.
They're making everybody aware. And what's scary about that is the cost to defend these. For a small organization, it may be 10, 20, 30,000. For a large organization like a Domino's or a Harvard University or Target, they spent millions of dollars defending a lawsuit. So it's quite a bit of a legal expense and a time expense to try to fight one of these lawsuits.
So in order to help people with disabilities get into the digital platforms, what's the first steps that you take?
Well, you need to make sure that your digital platform is accessible. So you need to test it. And you can test it. There's a set of guidelines called the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, and it's been accepted as the international standard for what to test on websites. And what they did is they have 50 checkpoints, and their 50 checkpoints are organized by four different categories.
And what are those categories?
The first category is how is your website perceived? Can somebody... if there's an image, is there alternate text describing the image? Mm. And that has quite a number of checkpoints. Second one is it operable? Can I maneuver through that website, such as is it keyboard accessible? Next one is it understandable? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If you're entering a field and there's an error message, does the error message make sense? So if somebody's asking me to input my name and I can't read the label next to it, if there's an error, it should say, hey, you didn't put in your name correctly. Please put it in correctly. A lot of websites just will say error, so the user doesn't necessarily know what to do.
Oh, I see.
And then the last group of checkpoints is making sure technology is constantly changing, so the website needs to move with those changes. So it needs to be robust enough to be upward compatible.
Okay. All right. The Bureau of Internet Accessibility is www.boia.org. Mark Shapiro is my guest. He's the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility and has been helping people out to get internet accessibility. Now, I'm looking at the numbers here. We have about 1 million Chicagoans who have a reported disability, but we still have a pretty long way to go to get everybody on?
We really do. Most of the websites have issues ranging from inconvenience issues where it's just a challenge to use to websites that are completely unusable.
Really?
So it is still a major challenge. Even after all, you know, after 20 years of being in this, we have seen improvements over the past probably 3-4 years, but now with COVID, it's really shining a strong light on how important it is to make everything accessible, because everything's shifting from the physical world to the digital now.
Right.
And, you know, you have to compensate for that.
Okay. Mark, hold on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Mark Shapiro is with us. He is the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility, and we're talking about internet accessibility for everyone, people who have disabilities as well. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number on the Team Hochberg phone line, and we'll talk more with Mark right after this. Hello, Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. Mark Shapiro is my guest. He's the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility, and it's an organization, a bureau that wants to make sure that everybody can get on the internet with disabilities or not. Mark is with us. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks.
In order to get platforms, digital platforms that are accessible, it's not just for the people who would like the disabilities, but it also is good for business, correct?
Oh, absolutely. An accessible website is also accessible to Google to spider your site and make it rank higher in the search engine. So there's a lot of benefits. It's also our population is getting older, and for somebody that's older, most of these adaptations are critical for them to use a website. So if you want to be able to sell your services or products to people who are older, people who might have different levels of challenges, you want to make sure that everything is accessible.
So, specifically, though, how do we make, like, for instance, how do we make websites accessible for, like, the visually impaired? How does that work?
Well, if you have imagery, you need to add the text behind the imagery. So, for example, if you have a store that says, in order to enter our store, you need the following, and you have a picture of a mask and gloves. If you don't describe that on the backside, on the alternate text, then the person who can't see the image is just going to hear the file name. So you need to say, hey, in order to enter our store, you need to wear gloves and a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes critical. Or if you're, say, a bank, or you say you have a store that has a special, and you have a, hey, use this code and get 30% off. If you don't describe that on the backside of that image, then those people can't take advantage of that, and that's, in fact, discriminating against those people. So that does cause major issues, not just morally, but there's also a legal obligation.
Yeah, that sounds right. Now, so what can people do to improve this, like to accommodate people better?
You know, most of it's about taking into account and thinking how people are going to be receiving this information. If you use imagery, think of ways to provide the same information in text for people who can't view it. If you use text over images, make sure you have enough contrast so that someone who's colorblind will be able to read it. In general, if there's something that's displayed visually, explain it so that everyone gets the same information. And if there's something that's heard, make it also appear visually. So essentially, supplement the spoken with the visual and the visual with the spoken.
I see. Now, how do big tech companies like Facebook and Google, how are they ranking and meeting these standards?
They're actually, especially over the last couple of years, they're doing a really good job. They do have some issues, but they are addressing the issues as they come up. Target, who was actually sued, they spent upwards of $9, $10 million between legal fees and fines back probably 10 years ago. They have a whole department now dedicated towards accessibility, and they're doing everything they can to make sure that everything is as accessible as possible to everybody, both on their mobile applications and on their website.
What were they sued for?
they were sued because their website wasn't accessible. Mm. Somebody couldn't have the same experience as another person. So somebody who was blind couldn't get to the information the same way that somebody who's sighted could get to.
In the current world that we're in right now with COVID, how has that impacted digital accessibility?
Well, due to COVID, much of the activity that people would normally conduct in the physical world has shifted to the digital world.
Right.
So, you know, over the past 30 years, such great accommodations have been made in the physical world, but now the same level of thought needs to go into the digital world. So people need to make their digital platforms accessible, and they need to think of it that way.
Do you see that happening? Is that trending?
It's starting to trend, definitely being motivated by the lawyers and by the school departments. The Department of Education is starting to also get involved. The ADA, the Department of Justice, is getting involved. So there's definitely quite a bit of motivation on that side. And then on the social media side, we're definitely seeing a big push as well.
If someone wants to get involved, how can they, if they just want to help out and get involved and make things a little bit more accessible for people?
You know, to start with, if they run into an issue, contact the company and tell the company what the issue was and tell them how it impacted. You know, what was the impact? What were you trying to accomplish and what couldn't you do? And that will help just identify it. A lot of companies it's not really on their radar. So some of them aren't really aware of the issues.
Yeah. How do they get more aware? Because of organizations like yourself?
Absolutely. Organizations such as us, National Federation of the Blind, there's quite a number of organizations doing a major push to get the information out there about how critical this is and how it's really discriminatory to not do this. And companies and most organizations do not want to be known as an organization that discriminates against any group.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what other things does your organization do? If you want to get into more of the other things that you do outside of this.
Sure. Well, our primary focus is testing website and applications using assistive technology such as a screen reader and identifying issues for companies and then working with them to help remediate those issues. On our website, we also have some training videos and different types of reports and a ton of free information on how to test your website and what to do.
That sounds great. And so anybody can just have access to it, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And the website is boia.org. And
yes.
Are there new things happening every day with the Bureau?
There are improvements and new clients that are being added to our group all the time. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's really, really great. And you've been around for, and the organization has been around for how long again?
20 years.
20 years, and helping people out to get to accessibility. You know, have you gotten feedback from folks that you've helped out, people who have disabilities who are now able to have access?
We actually have, and it's really, it's refreshing to be in business and help people. It's nice to be on the side that you're not just, you know, actively trying to make money, you're actually trying to make things better for people.
Yeah.
We are actually hearing from people. We heard from a student, we were working on a university website. Students were forced to take exams that weren't accessible. So they would take the exam, but they weren't able to get to the information, so they would fail the exam.
Oh, wow.
Not only would they fail the exam, but they couldn't get their money back because they had completed the course. So it created all sorts of issues. So we were able to work to get things fixed up enough so that they could actually get to the information and be at the same level as everybody else and not be discriminated against.
How can people with disabilities get help with using tech?
There are some great resources. There's a lot of free software out there. There's a product called NVDA. That's a free screen reader. There's quite a bit of tech built into the phones. So if you use an Apple or an Android phone, there's a good amount of information that's built into that. There's in the browsers, there's quite a bit of free applications. So the tech right now is quite good.
Wow. Okay. It sounds like you guys are doing a good job. What's next for you, Mark?
What's next for us is just getting the word out and trying to get everybody on the same level where all applications are accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm. But, okay. Well, listen, I appreciate what you do, Mark, and I thank you for talking to us. You're the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility, and everybody can check out the website, and it's www.boia.org. Everybody should have accessibility to the internet, and everybody. So it's important. Mark, I appreciate what you do, and thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Okay,
I appreciate
take care.
It.
Mark Shapiro, president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility, helping people with disabilities and others get on the internet and get some, and be accessible in the digital platforms in that world. So it's BOIA.org. And we thank Mark for joining us. It's right here on 720 WGN.